Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I am here with Neil, of course. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, we are going to be discussing spiritual superficiality. And so, for those of you who are new to our show, we do conduct our discussion in the beginning portion of our show, and then we get to your calls at about 15 to 20 minutes after. So we have some people lined up this morning in the queue. Please do hold your place in line. We're going to be getting to your calls shortly. But again, that portion of the show does take place before we take our calls for your personal reading. We'd like to invite you to join us on Facebook and on Twitter if you haven't already done so, and also follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. The listener line for the show today, 914-338-0164. We also invite you to read our articles on InnerSoulCafe.com. Our profile is Neil and Kristen Baker, so you'll see us there. And the direct number for further conversation than the radio show can accommodate is 562-596-7818. And I guess that's it for announcements. Nothing else to say. Spiritual superficiality is our topic today. And I think, why did we choose this topic, Neil?
Well, I think we chose this topic to represent the true essence of what spirituality is. I think we've taken that word and totally abused it to our own standards.
What I think is great about the fact that spirituality, the idea of spirituality, is so much more present in our society is because, you know, the internet makes information so much more accessible, and the globalization of our culture brings in so many ideas from different faiths, and people can join together and learn about different ideas, customs, ways of living, and of course, it's different forms of spirituality. But with that, too, comes dilution of what spirituality actually is.
It is. Because spirituality isn't brought down to our level so we can take it and use it according to our own personal design. Basically, we have to rise to the standards of spirituality. So if we rise, I mean, we can say, anyone can say they're spiritual, and anyone can utilize and manifest that term in any way they want. I'm not going to argue that you can't do it. My platform is, and our platform is, that spirituality is basically composed of a standard that we have to reach, not that it has to reach us. So in reaching the aspect of spirituality, you have to assume, what are the attributes, what are the conditions of spirituality? Basically, one of the large positions of spirituality is selflessness. To transcend the self.
Right. So diminishing the ego, essentially, and being of service to others, being there for humankind, animals, the planet, giving yourself.
Yes,
to those
because you're in the concept of oneness. You're in the concept that we're all basically one. So when you help others, you're really helping that theory of oneness. And oneness is the epitome of oneness, is the capitalized spirituality as opposed to the small letter spirituality, and that capital ultimately leads us to God. and God's spirit. So when we're in that place and we're dealing with the dissolution of self, when we're releasing ourselves of that, we're not really losing anything because we are swept up in the idea of oneness. And oneness doesn't, the release of oneself, if you want to call it that, doesn't mean that spirituality is equated to what you're going to get, what you want, what you desire, your earthly definition, what you're planning to do on the planet in terms of those physical wants. That can be home, that can be material, that can even be mate. Spirituality, I mean, those are all earthly ambitions. And under the concept of spirit, we can't have a spiritual essence around our desires. We can't have a spiritual essence around what we seek on the planet in terms of the planetary definition. But when we get into true spirit, we're not even of the planet anymore. We're not even on this earth. We're above this earth. And so the things of this earth aren't equatable to the discussion of true spirituality.
Right. But at the same time, we have to be equalized and balanced in all our chakra systems. So we have to be firm in our foundation. We have to be right in relationships. We have to have creativity, balance in heart, communication, vision, clean vision, and of course, spirituality. But it makes it difficult when you're striving. A lot of people come to our show with difficulties in a lot of the lower chakra themes, relationship. I can't find work. I'm losing my home, et cetera, et cetera. So being stable in those areas is part of the planetary journey and part of building the chakra system so that you can reach the seventh chakra. So balancing that can be challenging.
Well, you go, well, when you're basically, you're bringing up the chakra system. So the epitome of the chakra system is that the seventh chakra would be the spiritual chakra. Now, as you go up the chakra cycle, from one to seven, you're going through first the element of self-consciousness, being self-aware, being aware of who you are on the planet, your home, your foundation, your family, the grounding of who you are as a person and how you place yourself in the earth and the conditions of your environment, your home and such surrounding things. So that's the self-conscious energy. That's the lower part. When we get into the second part, and spirit can travel along with us as we move upward, we get into the spirituality of now not just thinking of oneself, but thinking about oneself and one other self, our relationships, the spirituality around our relationships, the emotions, the heart, the love, the compassion, the connection. That's where the second chakra would come in, still realizing that we're in the element of spirit energy. When we get into the third chakra, we're understanding our concept of not just being grounded in the earth, having relationships, but being creative. Being creative and understanding that creativity and how we connect to the outside world in terms of music and poetry and inspiration. Creativity itself is equatable to the stomach. So, of course, there's that stomach energy. But when we look at the stomach and we're looking at the lower brain, because it is attached to the umbilical cord, and the umbilical cord is our first link to consciousness of the outside world via being fed by the mother through the umbilical cord. And we get that first idea of otherness, something otherness. I mean, it's just not in the form of relationship, but otherness in this form of energy, how we receive our ideas, how we receive our nourishment, and how we place ourselves creatively in that context. When we get into the idea of heart, still continuing with the idea of spirit, and we're still in the kind of the artificial range of spirit, because artificial means that it's a reflection, it's a replica, it's an imitation, it's a part of what the true essence of spirit is. When we get into the idea, we understand that we have a love for all these things, that we're just not in relationship to procreate, we're just not in a home so we can have a rich home. We're just not creating so we can enjoy and live by the benefits of our creation, you know, our egos. Oh, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look what I performed. But we're getting to the idea of love and warmth. And now we get into the idea of social consciousness, which is the idea that what we create is for the benefit of all. What we establish on a creative level is so that other people can enjoy and appreciate, learn, educate. Those are the attributes of beauty, of the design, of the beauty of creativity. When we get into the fifth, now we can articulate with sheer accuracy, if we're lucky, the essence of our expression and the essence of who we are as creatures, that our language is now in such a form that we are reaching towards the goal of true spirituality, which means that our communication means that it prolongs life. It gives a sense that we are sacred beings, that we belong to a sacred supreme being. And as we move up to the sixth chakra, where spirituality is really starting to form in its true essence, not an artificially based ego energy, but one that is filled with visions and dreams. Where do we get our visions and dreams? How do we communicate to the outside world? Or now we're dependent upon the muse or the angels, the superior beings, the forms of energy that are above and beyond our planet. Now we're getting into the idea that we're really small in the scope of the universe. And as we move upward to the seventh chakra, we are at the tip of the iceberg. We're at the tip of what it means to be a human being in the earth, not only on the earth plane, but approaching, piercing through the spiritual plane, where we understand that we are soul-based energies, not body-based energies. Now the foundation of our existence is through the soul and the spirit, and now we are finally at the beginning of the true essence of what spirit is, not the artificial basis of spirit, but the true essence of spirit. So I think that's kind of like the ladder leading to spiritual energy and growth. So when we talk about being artificial, sure, I mean, we're all entitled to enjoy our life and to appreciate what we want and what we desire. But that's not true spirit.
Right. And when you're representing spirit or calling yourself a spiritualist or a psychic or a medium, you have to have true integrity in what you are doing and not, you know, we're here to be of service to humanity. It's not to become gods and goddesses and be worshipped by everyone or involve the world in our day-to-day life, the minutiae of our day-to-day life. And a lot of that goes on in the spirit, quote-unquote spiritual world. Something else that I found online was a statement from spiritualists, self-proclaimed spiritualists, is that spirituality is made much more complicated than it should be. And it is complicated. The universe is complicated.
Yeah.
It's like reducing the cosmos to something that's basic arithmetic. That's just not the way it is. It is complex, and it takes study, past life, your past life journeys, the culmination of all those journeys into your existence today to be able to, I mean, that's the beginning of getting into a spiritual essence.
That's right. To me, it's somewhat artificial to say, well, when people say I've met my true twin soul, my true twin mate, we're spiritual beings, we like the same things, we think the same. That's not the true essence of to me, the spirituality of twin soul. It's not that you found somebody that you can have a good time with on the earth, and it's really groovy that the two of you just meet and match at the same level. That's fantastic. There's nothing to put down about that. But to define that as the content of twin soul is highly mistaken. You're trying to say that first grade math defines mathematics. It isn't that simple. So it's a little bit irritating when I read and observe some of the comments that people make about twin soul element and reduce it to such a simplistic attitude.
It's not simple.
That it really
is. It's very
isn't.
Complex. It's
but
very
thank
complex.
God it is, because the density of the universe, there is a certain simplicity in the idea that we have the concept of oneness, but oneness or even the concept of nothingness holds everything within it. So I think the true idea of energy is the idea that you see everything in nothingness. Now that gets into a more of an esoteric terminology of what is something. But when you can understand and grasp the idea that we are in a world of otherness. We are in a world that transcends the mind. We're almost in a world of nonverbal communication. But in that nonverbal communication, in that silence, we hold every secret that is possibly perceivable in the universe. And we have that concept. So what we try to do in terms of making spirituality comfortable to us is we try to reduce it down to a language to where we can feel comfortable. But spirit is not actually a comfortable thing. It may be comforting to the body, but what is not comforting to the body is to understand the unknowingness of life. What are the mysteries that we are yet to probe, the things that we are yet to discover? Now, if you can hold your thought on that and feel comfortable in the unknowingness of God, in the in the mystery beyond our comprehension, then you're starting to understand the true unique structure of spirit, because spirit defies definition. It defies these conclusive statements that you can put on one sentence on a page. And to me, our journey on the planet is meant to be a continual journey and probing into that mystery, which will never fully be answered while we're on the earth.
Right. You know, I was reading something also. We belong to several groups, which we're very grateful for, spiritual groups on Facebook, over 150, I think. But something else I came across in one of those groups was tips to raise your vibration, singing, gardening, you know, taking walks. I mean, these are all external. I mean, they're great, wonderful, and it's nice. You know, I think another one was, you know, say nice things about people. But these are very simplistic ways to, I mean, raise vibration, and really, truly not effective. It comes from within. You have to integrate within a sense of spirituality, not from without.
Well, they're attributes of human activity, and they're commendable. I mean, they're necessary. They're part of our absolute higher breath.
It lacks a depth.
But that is not the true definition of spirit. Come on. The true definition of spirit, if that were it, we're in bad shape. If true spirit is to take a walk or to sing a song or to write a story or to paint a picture, or to feel like you met your love mate and you're just on cloud nine, if that's true spirit, my God, what is then the essence of the universe, which transcends all of these earthly pleasures, however pleasurable they may be and enlightening and what, but they don't get into and probe the mystery beyond death, beyond the fact that we are here and we're mortal and we're going to die. So all of these things that we take delight in are transitory. They're not permanent. They're not eternal. What is eternal? That's the question we need to ask, because that's when we get into the soul, and the soul is closer to the spirit than the body. So we have to get into the definition of the soul and understand that before we make these conclusive statements about the body and the pleasures of the body and define spirituality on that plane alone.
Exactly. Okay, I think we can continue this on Wednesday, but we're going to take some calls now. So our first is 305, and then 937 is our second. Hi there.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
Good. I'm doing good. My name is Maria. I called before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm one
Maria,
of those people that listen to the show all the time and call.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Maria.
Yeah.
And she's 727-63.
Yes, that's me. Okay. But actually,
yeah,
I'm calling because I met somebody. Which,
oh wow!
You know,
you were asking.
Yes, but I'm wondering if this is the person, because he is like everything I wanted, except he's very young. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. Do you know his birth date by any chance?
Yes. Yes. It's February 14, 1972.
Well, that's not a huge age difference. What, 11 years? 11 years?
9 years. Nine years.
Oh, yeah. 9 years. 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years, but still big. So
I'm
don't know if
she's born 63 and he's born 72.
72.
And he's
That's 11
years.
Years.
14. That's 11 years.
Oh, okay, okay.
17. I thought, gosh, I'm not doing too well today. Okay.
Six.
But I mean, well, not a huge.
It, you know, what's happening, Maria, what's happening is that it, in spite of the 11-year age difference, you're both an 8 and master number.
Uh-huh.
Your master numbers
wow.
are the same. Yeah. Now, that means that you have a, in this case, not every master number that's the same has the same storyline, but in your case, you have a past life energy with him. Okay?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now look. Now listen closely to me. Your 7 in your month and his 2 in his month equates to his first two numbers as much as they equate to the numbers in his day, as much as they equate, I mean, the numbers in your day.
7-2 is
and
in
as
her
much
day.
As they equate to the numbers in your year.
His year. She's 63.
Yeah,
72.
And his year.
So his year, 72, is her first two numbers.
Yeah. So and there's... So 7 and 2 in the months equate to your first two numbers, to your second and third numbers, and to his year.
Wow.
Now,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, aside from that, you're both an 8.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you're an 8 by 35 years of karma. He's an 8 by 26 years of karma. But... So yes, there's a difference there. He still could have been born in 72 and been a 35 equals 8, but he happens to be a 26 equals 8. That means that you're definitely an older soul. You have more karma than
mm-hmm.
him. But your spiritual energies, you see, you have 2 sevens in your month and day. He has one in.
But he's got
he has
seven.
One. Yeah, he has one
karma.
In his year, but he's got accumulated 7 in his day and month. So you two come through a journey of spirit, the two of you. You've been joined together before, sexually speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You've shared a spiritual journey before. His heart was very much involved in your spiritual life, and there was sexual energy in that. So, you know, what's happened? You both have come back. You both came back to the planet maybe to ultimately complete at least the chapter between the two of you, however it may go. But for mm-hmm. you to say, well, I found this guy, and I really like this guy, but he's younger than me. That is because in the attitude between lifetimes, one of his lifetimes got altered in such a way that the alignment of your age got mixed up. So in other words, something happened to him and it caused him to, he got a flat tire in the road and you didn't, kind of speak. And something
oh,
happened,
wow.
something happened to cause you to go advancing in your year so that by the time you meet up with him again, you're 11 years older. That's,
wow.
that's basically what happened. But in the 11 years, your combined energy of 6 and 7 in your year is a 4. That's heart. Your combined energies of 3 and 2 in your year is a 5. That's communication. So you've come back to communicate to him through the heart. So it's not a matter of how old or that's who cares? Who cares? You're older, who cares? What more important is the energy of language through the heart that extends into sexuality. That's basically what you're asking me as a person. Can our language and our heart connection and our sexual connection extend into something that transcends the difference in our age? The answer is yes, it can.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Good. You know, I always check with you guys. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Well, that's
Thank
exciting,
you so
though, Maria.
Yes, yes. You know, I've been calling, you know, I've been calling and listening to the show for like a year, and Neil always told me I'm going to meet somebody, and then like, I meet somebody I actually like. I'm like, okay.
Right, and I think it was like 2 shows ago that we spoke to you, so that, I mean, I know you've been calling for a while, but I mean, most recently.
Yes. Yeah,
I've
been calling
since
last year.
And then it comes up.
Maria, the only thing is, in terms of your name, I recommend you don't watch the end of West Side Story, because that really, it's not a good ending. Don't watch that movie for a while.
So, and so you don't give up your day job, Neil.
Yeah.
Just tell him that he's not going to be your boss.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
well,
thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Neil. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And keep us posted, okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay, great. All right, 937 is our next. Hi.
Hello, this is Sandy, and yes, I've called before. My birthday is April 8th, 1957.
Okay.
And, well, I wasn't going to, but this, I met a guy, let me see, his birthday is June the 3rd, and let me see, he'll be 61. I just turned 59, so I'm in 57, 56, probably 55.
55. He just turned 61?
He will turn 61 this year.
Oh, he will turn 61. Is that
oh,
right?
So that's 61 from 2016?
Yeah, 55.
55. Yes. And you are 59?
Yes, I just turned 59.
19. He's a 29-year-old,
yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Well, you know,
and they become Maria's first two numbers and her potential suitors here. You're going to be all together. Is what this reading's about.
Well, the 29-11-2s, they come on. They have a really strong sexual energy. It can be good or bad, but the sexual energy of the human being is really strong. Sometimes it's passionate and kind of like a intense tango dancer, and sometimes it's dirty, and sometimes it's confused and bemuddled. But 29-11-2s are usually passionate, dark characters, but that passion and darkness could be involved in the metaphorical stance of a tango dancer, you know, just mysterious in that regard. So we got that. Now, the two of you together, 7-2 is a 9, and that equates to his month and day, which adds up to a 9. So there, and don't forget your fire numbers are 8 and 3, which is an 11, which comes back to this individual once again. He's also 1955, that's an 11. Your first and last are 4 and 7, that's an 11. So the two of you are ready to tango. You're in the tango world of sexuality. There's an entanglement, and it can get into that phase, given that that's where the direction would go. So what that would mean, Sandy, is first of all, there would be a kind of similar union in the home energy, meaning that your environment, your home-based environment, and the way you've been brought up, you would find strange connections between your experience and his, because there's a past life connection between the two of you. So first of all, you have to kind of, even if you have to stretch the imagination, look for the links in the way you've been brought up and the way he's been brought up. Don't forget, your energies together somewhat amount to a past life connection. And the difference between your master numbers is 5, which is the common element in your year. Because your years are interchangeable, Sandy. Your 5 to his 5 is 55. His 5 to your 7 is 57. So your years are interchangeable.
Wow.
And what's interesting about that is that there's a future reason why you've connected that stretches back to a past life connection.
Okay. Well, and they also align, 57 and 55.
Yeah, they also align. They align. You can explain that, what that means. The alignment is... Your alignment in your 5-5 and 5-7
are matched to the cross and the numbers.
Yeah. So there's 2 years of difference between the two of you. That's not even totally mentionable. But the other thing about this individual, there's something strangely connected to the medical field. Now, he might have had medical intervention. There might be someone in the medical field in his family, but there's some aspect of medical energy. I don't know what it is. It could be as something as simple as he was picked up by an ambulance once driving a motorcycle. There's something connected to some kind of medical intervention, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah. Does it make sense to you, Sandy?
Not as of right now, no.
How long have you known
him? I've known it. Well, we went to high school together. And we've ran around together for probably about the past 4 years. But
well, the high school indicates the past life connection. It surfaces as past life.
Okay.
What does he do for a living? What does he do for a living?
Works at a place called Hobart. He makes he's in line with the Hobart mixers.
You know, like
the big mixers
cement?
Out.
Cement
no. KitchenAid, kitchen mixers.
Oh, kitchen, commercial mixers.
The big ones that has the, you know, that has all the stuff,
mm-hmm.
attachments to them and stuff, the real expensive ones.
Yeah.
But not in the industrial size
one. No,
in
the kitchen, like a KitchenAid mixer.
No.
I've got a KitchenAid, but I think Hobart's probably a little bit
I don't know where that equates yet. You know, you should question whether there's anyone in his family background that was ever involved in the medical field, including nurses. That might be one aspect of validating the energy. What do you do again for a living, Sandy?
I make whipped cream.
Oh, so you pour into... this is really good.
I make whipped cream for a living.
Really?
It's supposed
yes.
to be the other way around. He's supposed to make the whipped cream and put it in your pitcher.
Okay.
You guys have a sexual energy exchange going on. Now I'm getting it.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you can open up a cream factory and sell the equipment to make it, is the way I see it.
I don't think I've ever met anyone that makes whipped cream.
That makes it?
Do you have a business name and... I mean, do you sell it to commercial places or?
Well, what we do is make all the store brands, like your store brand whipped topping and stuff. We make them. It's all made almost at one place. Yeah.
Like ready.
All the store brands. Yeah.
The store brand.
All the stuff is made like at one place.
Okay. So it's the ones in the can, not like whipping cream from the dairy.
The ones in the bowls, like the bowl of whipped topping. We make that.
Oh, cool.
We make the ones in jugs. We make some in bags, like for decorating cakes. We make them in the big bags for industrials to whip up, industrial use. We make quite a bit of it.
Interesting.
Well, business-wise, there's a certain similar association.
Totally. It's very odd.
Which you see, the business of what you're doing, it goes back in the element of past life to a tribal connection. So what you do for a living has a tribal, past life tribal connection that morphed into what it is. Maybe you were involved in some kind of tribal ritual energy of food. Food can be very important to the ancient tribal customs. So there was something familiar between the two of you, and food used to be involved in sacred energy. So when we go back to tribal consciousness, we didn't just eat, we ate according to our sacred design of life, our spirit, our relation to God, the animals, the planets. So eating was a ritual that was almost spiritual in the primitive zone of being tribal. When we come to the future, we're all civilized. We forgot how to do that. We just, you know, we eat and we associate it with the common aspect of just being in family and eating and that kind of thing.
Right.
But it comes from a very sacred place originally. And when we ate, it was a sacred event. So when we go back to that terminology, there's a sacred energy between the two of you. Now, how that relates to medicine, food is medicine. There's a certain quality in the essence and organic composition of our foods that where all medicines originate from. Most medicines originally from the plant kingdom, animal, flower. And we've learned from there to move forward in time to where we cultivated to extent to where we have all, you know, now we have Nabisco. and whatever it is that may or may not be good for our nourishment. But in terms of that aspect, that's where I think the medicine comes from. So I think the two of you are combined in the sacred element of oral energy, meaning the fifth chakra. There's something regarding that that's important. Now, I know I'm getting much deeper. It might be intriguing. I hope it is. Because it would help to explore the very true reason why you two are together, not just to have a good time or go to bed or whatever, but to understand what is the true heartbeat of your connection and why are you back on the planet meeting this guy. Well, what I'm suggesting is that there's a deep meaning. I'm really saying that there's a deep meaning between the two of you, and it's worthy of study.
Yeah. We're not really dating, but we see each other every week, every Friday night. We all go to the same place, and we meet together as a group. But him and I are always sitting together real close, always talking to each other, flirting, touching. I mean, all the stuff of being close.
Yeah, Sandy, you see, you're meeting together as a group because it's tribal. You're reinventing the tribal aspect and the flirtation within the tribe, because what you're really saying to me is, I'm a member of a tribe with this person, and in that tribe we had a true relationship. Now in this time, I'm meeting in a group and flirting. So it's morphing from an original premise, and that's why the residual energy is still combined to be explored in this way. And if you go backward in time, you were of the same tribe in a sexual relationship.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah, for sure, Sandy. And as always, we love to hear from callers. So if this develops further, we'd like to know about it.
Yeah. Do you think it will? Does it feel like it will, or is it just going to stay where it's at?
Well, now we're getting into a different aspect, because he's compounded. He's a 29-11-2, meaning that the energy of his past lives, he's collected a lot of karma. So the confusion of his karma, don't forget, you're a simple 34 equals 7. Not simple, but you're a 34 equals 7. He's a 29 equals 11 equals 2. He's compounded, which means that there's an extraordinary amount of karma going on in this man's life to where he has two layers of energy to work through, which can confuse, confound, obstruct the essence between the two of you. So we'd have to explore the double layer of his energy to understand how to get to the pure connection between the two of you. And that's something we can't do on the radio.
Okay,
right.
Sandy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if you have further questions, 562-596-7818. And we would love it if you joined us on Facebook and on Twitter and right here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay. 856. Hello.
Hi, Christina Radio. How are you?
Hi. Hi.
Hi, it's Gwendolyn.
Yes. Okay. She's 626-69-39-12-3. Hey. How's it going?
It's going great, and I'm really happy to hear you both talking about the topic of spirituality and what that really means. I think that's awesome. It's the truth, and if we're not going to be in service to each other and to humanity as a whole, you can talk spirituality until it's blue in the face and wing it all over the place, and we end up in the same mess. So I love that you're opening that topic up for discussion. I have to tell you that.
Thank you so much. We love that feedback, Gwendolyn. So we appreciate it. We appreciate it very much.
Now, I do want to find out if Neil or you have anything on my numbers and how I'm moving along on my life path.
Okay.
Well, you know, what's beautiful about your numbers is the loop, the bouncing energy of the sixth chakra. So you have this wonderful journey throughout time involving the sixth chakra, your third eye, and all that visionary thing. So your very comment reflects that kind of knowledge and breadth of understanding.
which shows why she's connecting to us and the show. And
yeah. And what's interesting is that your 3 sixes are 18, which is a 9, which includes your last number of your year.
And her her year matches her Alpha Omega, 69, which is a kind of a special arrangement as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then the
what you said Alpha Omega?
Yeah.
Person, I'm sorry.
That's the first and last numbers of your birth date. And 9 and 6 happen to become a 15-6. So mm-hmm. there's that 6 energy again.
Yeah. And your day adds up to an 8, which is a rebirth number, beautiful number. You got a beautiful design of energy. Now, what gets intriguing is that we get to your master number, 39 equals 12 equals 3. So now your master number has fallen down to the stomach chakra. And that 3, well, there's a trinity of mystical element in the stomach. If you look at the chakra charts, you'll see that there's usually the stomach is involved in a triangular energy, even with an eye in the middle of the triangle, meaning that the third chakra, third eye, third chakra, third eye, that actualizes to a 6. So 3s are mystical.
And the 3 is the seat of intuition, which is the beginning of psychic vision.
That's correct. That's correct. So you have a it's intriguing. Now you're 46 years old. So the idea of 46 is heart and vision. Heart and vision. And actually the 46 is encompassed in your day of 26 because there's a 4 in between the two numbers. So you're revisiting at this point in your life, you're revisiting a past life journey. That you're now in these contemporary clothes and this contemporary body, but you're actually walking through the elements of a past life. And that's going to involve some parts of family commotion. You're probably going to get a little bit of family sway here and there, so there might be some disruption in the family structure. It might not be immediate family, but something in the family tides, in the current, might get a little bit off the ordinary track. Is there anything occurring in your family thus far that is of some sense of commotion?
Well, yes. I mean, we went through the divorce. I have been divinely united with someone that is an extension of families that are involved. So, yeah, there's quite the pieces of a pie going on.
Yeah. Well, that's going to lead to a new resolution and a new enlightenment.
And he's, Gwendolyn, your new guy is 10-14-68?
Yes, yes.
30, he's a 30 equals 3.
Oh, 10-14-1968.
So you're the same master number, 4, 5, 6. Which we discussed before, I think, but... Anyway,
yeah.
I wanted to give that
up. Okay, I so, you're the same master number, which equates to a 6. Okay, so.
6 again. That's
yeah,
funny.
6 again. Here's what I'm going to tell you something, too, Gwendolyn. I see you. Maybe it's metaphorical, but you're going underwater, not drowning. But there's going to be. Are you a water person? Do you like to be in water?
Oh, yes. I love the beach. Love to be around the water, hang at the lake. I have a thing with nature, yes.
Okay, well, here's what I suggest you do for the brevity of our radio show. The next time it is a little warmer months coming up, the next time you're in water, curl up into a fetal position and float in the water with your eyes closed and try to relax. It will probably release a past life memory. You're going to sense something. It's going to be a little bit, it might be a little bit startling, like you'll wake up out of that semi-conscious state in the water where you're floating, and you're going to go, wow, that's a weird feeling. What was that all about? Because you're going to be rebirthing within that experience. And the feeling of the water, it's almost like you're reinventing the embryo. And in your current consciousness, you're going to be going back to a time that was a rebirth. And it's going to produce an energy, especially if it's in the involvement. If you're going to a natural state where there's like a lake you mentioned, that's even intensifies the experience of rebirth. You know, ultimately we get into the ideas of rebirth with baptism and going into the water. Why is that? Because we reinvent our birth, and we reinvent our birth with a higher sense of consciousness, which is the transcendence from body to spirit. So what you're doing, what I feel is coming up for you, Gwendolyn, is that you're going to be going through a passage whereby you take this little episode of floating in a water, you might look silly, but nonetheless, and you're going to experience a brief second of a memory. Something's going to happen. You take that home with you and you explore it. You think about it.
Like a deja vu or?
Like a deja vu or?
I'm wondering if this is last summer, at the end of the summer, I went into the water and I said, okay, universe, I totally surrender. So I just left my body to gravity. I started spinning in a circle in the water. My eyes were closed. I totally surrendered everything to the universe. And what I heard was the sound of a whale. That sonic sound came out of nowhere through the water.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what you experienced back then to help validate our read here, that you're getting there, that there's something there. The cry of the whale is the cry of eternity. It's the cry of the creation of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the voice of the waters where life began. And so there's something connecting you. It could be that in a past life you left your one of your soul existences in the water. You drowned. And that cry is coming back to you through the magic of time and space. So
it chills me when you say that, because I felt really pulled when Hearts at Sea, that movie came out. And I went with him to go see that. And I kept saying to him, there's something about this. I'm telling you right now, there's something about this. And I get the chills from it. And I actually have, I'm very drawn to rocks, to gems, not just, I mean, everyday rocks to me. Like, I have some that look like whales. I have some that look like sharks. I do have that deep connection. I know it's there with the ocean and with the earth. But something about that Hearts at Sea, I kept saying, there's something about it. And as you said that, I get the chills from it.
Well, you know, I believe in conversing with stones and conversing with rocks.
In fact, Neil wrote a book of poetry. You should check it out, Gwendolyn, Conversing with Stones. And I think it's linked on our Facebook page somewhere. Or I can send it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I believe in talking to the rock. You know, I wrote a book of poetry. Okay, so I wrote a book. So what? So, but beyond that, rocks are living, locks
and bagels.
Locks and bagels are the beginning, and Willow cream cheese. Rocks are the beginning of the living soul. It's there's a belief, especially in Catholicism, that rocks hold spirit, that in the monument of the church, that in the rocks themselves, we hold living souls, living energy. And so they formed out of those rocks the sculpture of saints, and because it's the replication that out of rock, out of dust comes life. So the sacred element of the stone actually holds life, living soul. It's molecular too. And that's the first element of the earth that was created was rock. It was void, and then there was shape, water, rock, form, land.
Mm-hmm.
And from land arrives the physical breath of life and the soul. So we're all talking about the same thing. It's all in the big community of existence, and you're right on about it.
Yeah.
All right, Gwendolyn.
Yes. Thank you. I love you guys, and I really, really cannot wait for all of us to share so much with so many and have so many learn this, especially the kids in this world. They just, to connect, to hear like, I'll admit it, my own son is like, a stupid rock, like, that drove me through the ceiling, through the universe, back up again, and a stupid rock. There is nothing stupid about a rock. A rock, to me, has more intelligence sometimes than our human brain comprehends. Like, that describes me, not a stupid rock. Like, oh, no. Far yep. greater intelligence than a rock.
Simon and Garfunkel make a lot of money off of this, so I think they'd agree with you.
No, I'm a big fan of crystals, Gwendolyn, too. I have a lot of crystals. I mean, which are kind of like elevated rocks, but yes, I relate. And three is water elements, right? Moon and water. Mm-hmm. So connects right to her master number.
Well, rock on.
I have gems everywhere. I change them. Kristen, do yours change? Do your colors of your gems change as you hold them? Do they?
Like, you know, I've never even observed that. I've never, silly me, I've never even tried to look to see if they change when I hold them. I'll do that.
I've held them, worn them, and... They change.
Yeah, they change.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one rock, Gwendolyn, that has that morphs into a coyote howling at the moon in the patterns. That's one of my favorite rocks. And they do morph. They do change.
I used to do reading
just looking at rocks. But
no, we need to work with rocks more often. We have so many here that I brought, so let's do that.
Yeah, rocks are fantastic.
Yes, I mean, there's a huge gem that's in my home, and I believe it is. I had a small charm that I bought from someone that I know that was about balance, and this huge piece came from when Ron brought it here to the house. And I have to tell you that there is like a huge hole in it, as if the outer I'm going to say like a crusty type formation around this huge gem. There's literally a hole in it now that wasn't there when it first came.
Yeah, they do change. They do change.
Well, that's fantastic.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gwendolyn. Okay, take care.
Have a great one. You too.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, we have one last caller, and it's from 860. Who's this?
Susan from Connecticut, 102958.
Okay.
Calling to ask about court next week for my daughter. And also if Neil can tap in and tell me, because the name of the girlfriend has changed. I mean, it might have not been Lauren, but now we got wind that it's a Danielle.
Danielle?
So I'm wondering if you see the same time frame that we talked about with Danielle.
So Lauren is not.
I guess she's not
Lauren's
in the picture,
court.
Or maybe they're both in the picture. I don't know.
Okay, so there's a Danielle.
Yeah, it's a Danielle, and she's staying at the house.
58, 10/29/58, 35/8. She's staying at the house. Okay, so quickly, Neil, court date for her daughter. This is regarding custody?
That's Thursday, 4/21.
4/21, but is it regarding custody?
Yes.
Okay. And
she wants to know if she'll get more days.
She wants more days. Right now it's split, right?
No, it's just 2 days that she has, but she kind of did that intentionally.
Really?
Until she got a car, and now she has a car.
I see. Because
it was hard for her to get around.
She has a car now?
Yeah. What's your daughter's birthday again? We don't remember. I have it written down somewhere.
5/20/86. 2086.
20/86/20.
Yeah. Yeah. 05/20/86.
31/4. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think she's probably going to get more days.
Oh, good.
She should get more days. I mean, that's what my current read is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think she's going to get more days.
That 4/21 is hidden in her karmic master number, the two, between 3/1, 2/1/4.
Yeah.
So is that a good sign?
Well, there's a good indication she's going to get more days. And it's really weird because I'm seeing a lot of symbolism around her. The symbolism, it looks like the American flag. I don't know if it's corny patriotism, American flag.
No, she's driving a car nut right now that has a bunch of American flags in it. It's my father's car.
Oh, really?
Wow.
He's a vet in the Navy, so he's got all kinds of American flags.
Oh, because I just saw American flags around her.
Weird.
Yeah.
So that's a validation.
Why? Yeah.
That's a pure validation. That's at least according to this read, it's validating that the signs look good, that she will win some days. Because how would I get American flags and you validate it so quickly? It sounds like a good sign to me.
Yeah, it does.
So what was the other thing, Susan?
About this girl Danielle, like, is it just Danielle? And is it the same breakup, the same time frame, or is it Danielle and Lauren?
Oh boy! So Lauren was the past girlfriend of the ex.
Uh-huh.
Now she's finding out that Danielle is involved in the picture. So is it both Lauren and Danielle, or is it just Danielle? And did Lauren leave? And Danielle's staying at the house.
I think the one was going to break up, and then so there might be a new one in the picture. But let's right now focus on her getting more days. I think that's more important to get that plate served first.
Okay.
Okay, Susan. Well, let us know.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, we are back on the air Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much for your calls. We will speak with you then. Bye-bye.